Let's talk about what makes sex great. Not just good sex. For me, all sex is good. But great sex. I started teaching seminars on sex about 12 years ago, about a year and a half after I stopped being a monk. Now, mind you, for 9 years, my profession was teaching, so I was very good at teaching. That's what I was very good at, and I figured, you know, after 9 years of being a monk, I didn't figure, another part of my body figured, let's learn about sex, okay? So then I balanced off those 9 years of celibacy with lots of sex and lots of searching for answers about what makes sex spiritual, what makes sex a beautiful experience, what makes sex a negative experience. Why is it sometimes as positive? Why is it some negative? What are some of the problems that come up? How can I be an expert, a master of sex? And so I set out taking every class, every course, every book I could find about it for about a year and a half, and as many partners as I could practice with. And I was pretty lucky for that year and a half. My adolescent years, I wasn't so lucky, but then I was. And so I figured the best way to learn is I'll just start teaching what I had learned and create seminars where people would take a lot of time to talk about what makes sex great for them. So I must have taught thousands of people. We'd spend the whole weekend, and the one topic would be, what makes sex great? And I would just give a little introduction and give a few ideas, and I would have everybody gradually over the weekend talk about what makes sex great. So and I'm sitting there taking notes, you know, okay, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Okay, I'll go with this. And over the period of several years, what I've done is develop my own system of understanding the ingredients of what makes sex great and how to create a win-win sexual relationship with somebody. Win-win sex life so that you're always getting what you need and your partner always gets what they need. So much of the time, sexual relationships tend to be one-sided. One person's getting what they want, they're getting off, and the other person's not. And quite commonly, the guy gets off, and the woman wonders, gee, weren't we going to have sex? And part of this is based upon statistics. Statistics are, and biological differences. One of the major biological sexual differences between men and women is that men need about 2 or 3 minutes to have an orgasm of stimulation. Women need 18 to 20 minutes of stimulation to have an orgasm. So here you get a Martian and a Venusian together. You know, men are like Martians, women are like Venusians. And here's this Martian, he comes along, and his whole life is all it takes is 3 minutes. He gets involved with this woman, they're having sex. He's done after 3 minutes. Wow, wasn't that great? Did you come? And she looks at him, well, I didn't even start. But she generally doesn't say that because she said it once and she knows the effect she has on him, which is his feelings are hurt, he feels disappointed, he becomes judgmental of her, like, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you get off? What, you're not into it or whatever? It's not that she wasn't into it, she didn't have time to get into it. Guys tend to be just the opposite of women in sex in many different ways, and we're going to explore some of those differences. One of them is, of course, men like to go right to the point, okay? They want to get right to the points, okay? It's like first base, second base, third base, stick it in and go for a home run, okay? And that's it, you know, it's like he's done. It's like efficient, he's got his strategy down, he knows how to do it, and it just becomes repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. That is a turnoff to women. That's not what they want. They don't want you to get right to the point. They want you to go around and around and around and around the point till finally they're begging for you to get to the point. Then you get to the point. Whereas men, it's kind of the opposite. You get right to the point with them in terms of touching them in their erogenous zone. One zone. And after you've handled that, then you can start to tease him a little bit. Then you can start moving around his body and so forth. And that's fine. But then if you notice he's getting a little uncomfortable, come back and handle that erogenous zone again. And then you can start touching him in other places. Now, I didn't understand this when I was a teenager. And I remember this time I was having sex with this girl, and we knew we were going to go all the way, so I figured, all right, we're going to go all the way. And I'm like hugging her and humping on top of her and getting all excited, getting ready to, you know, touching her breasts and her nipples and touching her clitoris and doing the things I know I'm supposed to do and getting right to the point so I can get right in there. And she, on the other hand, is like rubbing her hand down my legs and on my thigh. And then she starts circling around my thighs and coming up and touching my stomach and getting close to my breasts and moving back around. And I'm going, what is she doing? Is she torturing me? Is she mad at me? Is she punishing me? And I took her hand, I said, there. Down. No, it was just, and that was my first beginning of realizing that women give what women want. And what she was doing to my body, she assumed I would love, because that's what she wanted me to do to her body. See, she wants all this stimulation and foreplay before we get to the really intense points, to the intense moments. So what I had to learn and practice in becoming a great lover was restraint and discipline. Okay, now this is a real powerful thing for a man to learn. The art of making love is restraint and discipline. If you just let your nature run wild, the whole thing's over in 3 or 4 minutes. Whereas you can create this wonderful, wonderful feast out of lovemaking if you practice restraint and discipline with an awareness of what you're doing. And it's not like you're sacrificing, you're getting more. First of all, I want to say the basic thing is men and women are very different. And what happened to me when I was a teenager, as soon as I was through puberty or in the middle of puberty, I thought I was an expert at sex. Nobody had to teach me anything about it. I knew what to do with this thing. You stick it in, you pull it out, and that's it. You know, it's like, and of course I know how to make a woman happy now. There's no way I could have known how to make a woman happy. But I was too proud to ever ask. It's like, I'm supposed to be an expert. Okay. It wasn't until after being a monk for 9 years and then starting to have sex with this woman, I'm very thankful to this woman, she taught me a lot. I felt like because I'd been a monk, I had a good reason for not knowing how to make love to a woman. Okay, so I thought, hey, I'll ask her. What a novel idea. I'll ask her, what does she like? What feels really good to her? So we had this big discussion before we had sex about what really feels good to her. Now, I'm not recommending that you do this, especially like if you're falling madly in love with someone, you're going in every moment and so forth. But once you're in a relationship with someone and you tend to be having sex and you have a love and there's a good relationship there, it's good to sit down with them sometime and ask, you know, what is it that feels best to you in sex? What are some of the best things that you've ever felt in sex? What works for you? And I remember with my wife, when I sat down with her one afternoon, after we'd made love several times and so forth, and I sat down and I said, you know, I really want to be the best lover you've ever had. I want to give to you and fulfill you. I want to know, what is it that really makes you turned on? What is it that really feels good to you? It's like, I want the instruction book. How to make love to you in a way that works for you. And her reaction, I was surprised. I thought she would be so happy. Oh, I can tell him and he'll do it. She said, I don't know if I want to tell you. And it was like she had a resistance to letting me know. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of shyness around it, one. Two, she might say something, I might laugh at it, and that would be humiliating. Three, she might tell me, and then I don't do it. that would really be hurtful. But four, it's like this subtle thing that women have, which is, if you really are the right guy, you'll know, okay? It's like they're waiting to see, is he gonna know? And it becomes this habit. You could be married to somebody for 30 years. You're still waiting to see if they'll find out, you know? Or if you've been waiting 20 years, you go, oh, I can't tell him now. He'll think he's been doing it wrong for all 20 years. So they don't say anything. So what I suggest, women, if you wanted to start letting a man make love to you the way you want to be made love to, is have this conversation or play this tape for him. This tape will pretty much cover most of the things. But, you know, everybody is unique and special, and I won't cover everything. And it's important that we ask each other and talk at times about what you like in sex and what you don't like. And when you say what you don't like, you just sort of skirt around it. Say, well, I really like this a lot better than that, okay, as opposed to I really hate it when you do that, okay? That we tend to have very sensitive feelings around sex. And when men more than women, okay, this is another one here, which is, you know, my wife could be, we could be making love, and I'd say to her, honey, would you move like this, please? and she'd be happy to move. Or I could just go, oh, over here, you know, and she'd be happy to move. But if my wife says to me, and this I think would be more in my younger years, when I was a little more insecure, but still maybe it might happen, we're making love, and she says, well, would you move out of the way, please? That's hurting me. In an instant, I'm shut down. Can any men relate to that one? You know, it's like you get a, because here you are at this, anything that hurts her, upsets her, or makes you feel like you're doing the wrong thing, you want to quit right away, because we're so sensitive at that time. And I'm sure many women have experienced that, where you tried to tell a man what you wanted in sex, and all of a sudden you weren't having sex anymore. He kind of rolls over, and you say, weren't we having sex? He says, yes. Well, are we going to have sex? No. Did I do something? No. Do you want to talk about it? No. It's very frustrating for a woman, but being a man, I understand that when you're that vulnerable to be aroused and erect, okay, it's like you're 10 times more sensitive at that time. And any kind of criticism or commanding can be hurtful to our feelings, to some men especially, not maybe not all, but that's a very sensitive issue. And we're going to talk more about how to ask for what you want in sex. But the real thing is, play this tape. It's a lot easier to get the ground rules or the basic understandings, so you don't have to give your partner instruction on how to make love to you, and vice versa for men to women. But for men, it's a lot harder, just because we have this sort of built-in pride that we're supposed to already know. But thank goodness for me, I was a monk, so I kind of had like an excuse to not know. And so I just asked and asked and asked and tried and experimented. And then I became a sex researcher. So then I felt like it was still okay to ask, you know. And after making love, still, my wife chuckles at this. But when it's really great or something, afterwards, I make sure it's not right afterwards, because she gets a little upset when she thinks I'm doing research on her. But I'll wait a little bit longer. I said, you know, that was really, really wonderful. And I noticed you were feeling really good. Was that good for you? And she goes, oh, yeah, that was great. I said, well, what exactly made it great for you? She goes, oh, not this conversation again. You know, just like, but it really is helpful for men to understand some of the things that make it great. And I think what helped expand my awareness was understanding how different women are, and that many different things do make women feel great or have great sex. And that over time, a woman will change. There's no pat formula that works with any woman that will work with every woman. And there's no pat formula that works with one woman over and over. Because as soon as it works, guess what? It gets boring. She can expect it. She knows what you're going to do. And all of a sudden, she wants something different. So this is like a pat formula for all you guys on how to do it different every time. Okay? And then what you have to do is counteract that is do it the same sometimes. Because she doesn't want you to have a pat formula that you're doing it different every time. So what I'm saying is, this is a very mechanical way of being spontaneous. This is what women want from me. Oh, I want him to be spontaneous. It's like, spontaneous? What do you mean? I figure out what to do and then I do it, you know? It's like, but it doesn't work, I don't do it. So this is like how to get around that and find this more spontaneous side of you. And it will tend to create that once we sort of really understand what a woman wants, what a woman needs in sex, and also for women to understand about men. Because you don't have a man's body, you don't have his sex organs, you don't know what feels good to him, you don't know what he needs in sex, you don't know what really turns him on. It's kind of like hit or miss. You may learn from your other girlfriends. I remember one girlfriend saying, one woman coming up and saying to me that, gosh, I just realize it now. I was asking my girlfriend how to make love with my boyfriend, what she knew about it, and she was giving me this whole description. And I thought, oh, now I know what to do. And I realize now that the description she gave me to do for him was the description she wanted her boyfriend to do to her. Because as long as we assume our partner's just like us, we'll give what we want instead of finding out what they want. So to have great sex, we've got to realize that our partner's going to want something different from us. So let's look at more of those differences. The first of those differences is that women, as opposed to men, women need a good 15 to 18 minutes of foreplay. I'm sorry. See, I'm a man here, you know. Did you notice men, how they picked up on that right away? Give us our time. Okay, 18 to 20 minutes, and here I am, this guy trying to shorten it already, okay? And guys need between 2 to 3, okay? And that's really all they need is stimulation. So we need to realize that a woman's fulfillment is going to be different from ours. Ours tends to be ascending to a peak very quickly. It's like a race car. You get a Ferrari. What do all the cars say? How fast? To 60 miles an hour. You know, it's just like, room, you know, and you get the fastest to 60, that's the car you want to go get. Okay? That's not the way women shop for cars. Okay? What they want for cars, if we're going to talk about cars for a moment, we'll come back to sex, is safety. They buy Volvo station wagons. You know, it's like safety. Our tourist station wagons, be American here, right? Okay. But it's more the female side of it is going to go for safety. And in sex, we'll see, is one of the things that makes a woman feel really open and turned on is when she feels safe. When she feels safe to surrender, to let go, to go out of control even, knowing that you're not going to judge her, be critical of her, make her wrong in any way. And we're going to understand some of the ways men may unknowingly make it not safe for women. But just in terms of this race car, this is the male side of us, the Martian side of us, that wants to get from point A to point B as effectively, efficiently, and as quickly as possible. So here he is going from point A to B. It's like running a 50-yard dash or something, you know. It's like going as fast as you can, getting all your energy out, and then you're exhausted afterwards. The art of lovemaking, that is, by the way, the art of masturbation, okay, is to get off as fast as you can, just to get off. The art of lovemaking is to take this energy, this intense energy, and share it with your partner. Slow it down and allow it to very gently move into her, sharing your energy with her. So in a sense, for a woman needing 18 to 20 minutes, it's not like just a straight line up to your peak, like climbing the Swiss Alps. It's more like the hills of Kentucky, okay? It's a gradual climb. It gets up more. It reaches the top of one hill, and it settles down again. Then it goes back up for another hill, and it settles down again. And it goes back up to another hill, and it settles down again. And this is completely contrary to the way a Martian thinks, or a man thinks. These ups and downs, it even looks like a woman's body, doesn't it? Nice curves. You see, this is the feminine nature. It goes up, and it comes down. It goes up, and it comes down. Waves. Now, when a man is, let's say, stimulating a woman in foreplay, and he's giving her a state, or arousing her, her energy's rising up, and then it starts to settle down naturally. He'll start to panic and go, wait, what's happening here? And he'll try to keep her energy going up and up and up. And same thing happens to his own sexual energy, by the way, which is he will tend to rise up in a peak very quickly. And for a short period of time, let's say if he's going to get to orgasm in 3 minutes, two of those minutes will be arousal increasing, increasing, increasing. The last minute will be a plateau. This is from a graph of Masters and Johnson, which talked about the arousal stage, the energy is going up, and there's a plateau, and then all of a sudden it's like this thing on the horizon, the orgasm. It's coming, and it's coming, and it comes very quickly to guys. Sometimes it comes takes a lot longer for women. But to him, it comes right away. It's the point of inevitability. He reaches the point of inevitability. And then there's this quick surge of energy. His energy goes way up, there's a burst, and it settles down. Okay? And that's the orgasmic cycle. When you look at this graph of the line going up, then plateauing, and then going up again, like a step, really what's happening is his sexual energy is going on the rise, and it's starting to settle down, and it's coming back up again, and to settle down and come back up again. But because he doesn't let his energy settle down, when the wave comes back, he ejaculates. It's over. Most men think they're having an orgasm when they ejaculate. They think that's what an orgasm is. It's not. It's an ejaculation. An orgasm is an experience that you have having built up your energy. You build it up, you let it relax. You build it up, you let it relax. You build it up, you let it relax. For about 15 to 20 minutes. Then when you have an orgasm, or then when you ejaculate, it's a whole body orgasm. It's an orgasmic experience. All the cells in your body are involved in it. Whereas generally with a 2 to 3 minute ejaculation, it tends to be located in the genitals, and that's all. The ideal of lovemaking, to be a great lover, for yourself to have the most pleasure, is to build up this energy. Let it build up and build up and build up. But the art of building up energy in yourself and in your partner is to go in waves. Let the stimulation go up, and if ever it seems like you start to think in your mind, okay, now what can I do to make this even more exciting? What can I do to keep it up? That's generally a sign your energy wants to settle down. You just let your energy settle down at that time, and it will pick right back up. For a man, sometimes that means he might start losing his erection. You know, he's going along, and all of a sudden he starts to lose his erection. He goes, hold it, wait a second, I got to get this up, you know? And he's like working harder to stimulate himself and get going, rubbing harder, whatever. If it starts to go, you let it go. It's the energy is just settling down, because if you let it settle down, when it comes back stronger and it lasts longer. Kind of like some kind of soap detergent or something. So we're going back to these differences between men and women in sex. Men tend to take 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to talk more about these energy waves a little bit later. Women need longer. That 18 to 20 minutes is a time to build her energy up, let it settle down, build it up, let it settle down, build her up, let her set it down. Okay, what are some other things that make us different in sex? Major attitude difference. When a man is successful in pleasing the woman, he gets off the most in sex. What is the purpose of the male side of us? To make a difference. When he succeeds in pleasing you, that's what makes him the happiest. That's what makes him feel this was great sex. Okay? When he gives. Okay? When the man gives. And what makes sex memorable for a woman is when she is able to fully receive. Now, this may be contrary to some of your experiences, and that's okay, but I'm going to explain that. You know, I've had good sex where my wife really did a lot for me and made me feel really good, okay? But great sex for me is when I also made her feel really, really good. Matter of fact, she has a wonderful orgasm. I feel great. Can any men relate to that? Now, the point I'm making here is not that you should have an orgasm every time, women. We'll talk about that in a little while. The point I'm making is that when I fulfill my wife, that makes me feel great. That makes sex not good. That makes sex great. Is when what I did, you know that male thing, look what I did, see what I did, I did this and I did this, see how fast my car will go, see how quickly I can turn here. When I do this wonderful thing to her, I feel great. Whereas a woman feels great sex when she gets to a point in sex where she can fully relax and let go, not worry about anything, not worry about him, but just get off on his energy. Feel his energy entering into her, filling her up from inside, and just filling up more and more and more. She's receiving, and in that receiving, she experiences feminine fulfillment, feminine orgasm. Can any women relate to what I'm talking about there? Yes. Okay, there's a difference. Now, good sex, I mean, women can have good sex because her partner's happy and so forth. That's good sex. But great sex is where she makes sure that she gets what she wants to receive. Now, this little difference can keep some women from being orgasmic if they don't understand this. One woman who took one of my courses after I was explaining this, and we were talking a lot about it, a woman stood up and she shared, she goes, this is like a flash that I can't believe. Now I understand why I've only had one orgasm with a man. And so everybody goes, what was that? You know, and she tells this wonderful story. I was traveling along, and it had been a long time since I'd been with a man, and I was on a trip, and I went into this bar, and I was drinking and, you know, just having some, getting some company. And this obnoxious guy comes walking over and sits down next to me and buys me a drink. I told him I didn't want the drink. He said, okay, but if you want it, it's there. Buys a drink. I said, look, I'm really not in the mood to talk to you. He says, hey, I understand, but I'd like to get to know you. She says, you don't want to get to know me. He says, no, I do, I do. And there's this silence. He goes, and I want to have sex with you. She goes, who are you? Get away from me. I mean, give me a break. He says, I can take you places you've never been before. She She goes, "You jerk, you know, I'm not going to listen to you." But a little part of her went, "Really?" Now, by the way, we'll put this down on things that work in sex is confidence, okay? Confidence. Women do like when men have confidence, but they're also sensitive and willing to support their needs. But anyway, and this is a different situation, different point I'm going to make. So she's saying, he just persisted and persisted, but he kept saying this thing. "I know what I'm talking about. I know what I can do. And I can make you feel so good. I'll take you places you've never been before." And she thought he was obnoxious. She hated him. But some part of her said, "Okay, let's do it." And they went off and got a motel room, and they did it. And what she did inside is she vowed, "I hate this guy. I've never hated anybody more than this guy, but it's been a long time for me. He thinks he knows what he's doing. We'll see. But the one thing I'm going to make sure is I don't give him anything. This is going to be for me, just because I want it. I'm not going to do anything for him." So they made love. She didn't do anything for him. And it was one of the greatest experiences of her life. And she had an orgasm with a man. Now, why did she have that orgasm? It was the first time, she said, that I gave myself permission to receive. This is a real significant thing, is when a woman doesn't feel safe to receive, she can't let that energy come in and experience feminine fulfillment. And that can block orgasm. So what we want to work at is how to make it safe for a woman to receive in sex. And I have a thing called polarity sex, which I'll describe later, which helps a woman to receive in sex. One of the little tricks in it is that you start out in sex letting her give. See, when a woman gives and gives and gives, how does she feel a little bit later? Ready to receive. So even though that's a neurosis where she has to give and give and give in order to receive, we'll use that to our advantage. I don't mind it at all when my wife gives to me. So that's polarity sex, where she starts out giving and giving and giving and giving, and I start out instead of giving and giving and giving, because when I'm tired, I tend to be a little selfish. I want to take, take, take. So, and that tends to be one of my neuroses, which is I'll just take, take, take. So I start out taking, taking, taking. She gives and gives and gives. And after a little while, she feels like, okay, now I deserve to receive. And I'm so full inside, I go, okay, now I'm willing to give. And so we turn something which is normally a negative into a very positive. Because for most couples, after a while, she, if she's still having sex with him, she's really just doing it for him, just giving to him. He's taking for himself. And they're never having great sex. Because great sex happens when the switch takes place, where all of a sudden he's now giving to her and she is just forgetting about giving or doing anything for him and she's just receiving herself. So this is one picture of how it turns to be great, is when that polarity shifts where the man is really into giving and the woman is into receiving. So let's look at some of the qualities of what a woman needs to be receptive, and one of those is safety. Okay. When a woman feels safe in sex, what that means is you're not going to be disappointed with her, you're not going to reject her or judge her in any way. Well, if a man doesn't understand a woman in her cycle of how she goes in waves, he'll tend to be greatly disappointed. Because sometimes when she's on her cycle, when she's peaking, feeling great, she'll be very orgasmic. But other times when she's in a valley, she's not going to be much into sex at all. He's going to go, "What's the matter with you? Are you saying I'm not doing it right? What's going on?" It's just she's in a different mood. This wave cycle for women tends to be with the moon. Okay? Women are, the whole moon tends to rule the woman. Okay? The moon has different phases. Sometimes it's full moon, and that's when she is just, you can't do anything wrong. I mean, this is a man's dream. It's like he's driving a Ferrari, presses the accelerator, and it roars, vroom, and it takes off. Okay? You want to turn to the left, it turns to the left. You turn to the right, turns to the right. He feels really good because he's getting a response, which is something which is very important to men, is that they feel they're getting a response to their every movement, to their every intention of giving. There's some kind of response. Well, what makes a woman feel safe is when she doesn't have to respond. That's one of these traps here, because she feels, she knows he likes her responses. And when the moon is full, she has a lot of responses. But when the moon's not full, let's say it's a new moon, half moon, it's going to be half responses there. A new moon is going to be a few responses. Occasionally, I'll make love with my wife at a new moon. Not necessarily with the new moon up there, but just when she's going through her lunar cycle. and she's really not that much into sex, but she has sex. It's generally pretty much, well, if you want to do it, we'll do it. It's not really for me, but if you'd like to do it, okay. And we'll make love at that time, and she'll lie there like a log. And she's okay, and I'm okay with that, because I don't expect her to be the full moon every time. Now me, us guys, we tend to be ruled more by the sun. Every morning the sun rises, guess what else rises, okay? Sometimes women, we could let them think this way too, but sometimes women take that a little bit too personally. They think, oh, I'm doing that. Really, the sun does it, you know? It's like, could be anybody in bed or nobody in bed. That thing's going to get up there, okay? It's part of his cycle. Is it tends to just be, okay, ready, alert, ready to do the job whenever opportunity avails itself, okay? So that's the male member. Reporting for duty, sir. Also, what makes it safe for woman in making love is that he's understanding that sometimes she's going to be the full moon, sometimes she's the half moon, sometimes she's the new moon, and he doesn't expect her to have an orgasm when she's at the half moon or the new moon. Okay? So he's not going to say, did you come? He's not going to say that. Or, and if she says, no, I didn't, he's not going to have his feelings hurt. But even once I understood this cycle, and I would say to my wife, did you come? She'd go, no. She'd go, no. Part of me had my feelings hurt. I mean, I just have to say, as part of me, because, you know, she seemed so excited when I came, I thought she was coming. And this is what I want you guys to know, is that many times you think a woman's coming. She's not coming. She's just enjoying your orgasm, that's all. But she's not having her orgasm. And it will sound just like she's having an orgasm. And she doesn't want to tell you that she didn't have an orgasm either, because it does hurt your feelings. So she'll just kind of go, yeah, it was really good. Okay. But she really didn't have her orgasm, and she needs to have that orgasm when her moon is full. Women need sex just as much as men. And of course, some need it more and some need it less, whatever. But that is a wonderful human biological pleasure that's there. It's a gift to us. And it's a very healing experience. Of course, if a woman is making love with a guy who thinks it should last 5 or 10 minutes, she's never going to have her orgasm. And she may learn, some women have adapted to the modern man. This is probably the ancient man too. But they've adapted and they said, okay, if I'm not going to get my 18 to 20 minutes, I'm just going to rush and get in touch with my male side and get off on my own. And women can get off sooner, some women, if they really work hard at it. Okay? But it's not a pleasant, fulfilling experience for them. The most fulfilling experience is when she has plenty of time. Plenty of time creates safety. She doesn't have to hurry. She's not going to be judged. What I stopped doing was asking my wife, did you come? Okay, unless I felt inside it would be okay for her to say no. So in the beginning it was like, I'll wait till I'm really sure she came. And I said, did you come? Oh yes, honey, it was great. Now after many, many, many years, I can generally tell. But I remember in the beginning, I was shocked to find out, you know, at one point, I thought she was having orgasms galore all the time, you know, and then I said to her, gosh, you know, we have such a great sex life. This was about 12 years ago. And I said, it's really great to have all these orgasms. And she just kind of neutrally said, oh, I don't always have orgasms. What, you don't have orgasms? Well, sometimes I do. I said, how often? Oh, about a third of the time. I was humiliated. I was angry inside. I didn't want to talk to her for days. I felt cheated, fooled, ripped off, you know. Truth is, she wasn't even trying to fool me. She just assumed I knew. And so that's why she was so innocent about saying, but many women who've been burned like that, you can bet the next guy that came along and asked her, you know, she wouldn't be that honest, because she doesn't want to have a guy not talk to her for 3 days after this wonderful, fulfilling experience. So what you should do is just realize that for a woman, orgasm is not always the peak of fulfillment. It's one kind of fulfillment she'll have. Another kind of fulfillment is just when she feels close to you, that your arms are around her, that you're saying nice things to her. This is beyond your male experience, I'm telling you. But to her, it can be as fulfilling as an orgasm. It's just a different kind of fulfillment. But to her, it can be as fulfilling as an orgasm. It's just a different kind of fulfillment. How many women can relate to what I'm talking about? Okay, look at that, guys. Okay, it's not that they're going to trade that for orgasm. It's just sometimes it's the full moon, sometimes it's the half moon, sometimes it's the new moon. What they need is different kinds of love expressed in this affectionate way. Whereas we guys are like the sun every day. I want my orgasm. You see, for a guy, if he gets all turned on, everything. As a matter of fact, you know, he doesn't come many times. He's going to ache. He's going to walk like Charlie Chaplin. You know, he's walking along. Oh my God! You know, they got these bowling balls hanging down. You know, just like he needs some kind of release. Women aren't always that way. Now, sometimes if a woman doesn't come and she's pretty much close to the full moon, and she may have some soreness down there, but not like guys. Okay, I mean, it is bowling ball time. You know, it's like, oh my God. So it's a different reality. A guy, as soon as he gets turned on, he tends to go, I want to get to the goal, orgasm. I got to get to the orgasm. And if I don't get to the orgasm, I'm not going to be satisfied. So he assumes if a woman doesn't have an orgasm in that time of having sex, then she's not satisfied. And he gets upset. The reason he's upset is because his real turn-on in sex is to give you fulfillment. And he associates orgasm with fulfillment. The real thing that turns him on is when he gets that you are fulfilled. And part of this talk is to help men get that women don't have to have orgasm to be fulfilled. They can just go on a few of those waves of Kentucky and feel wonderful. And of course, then he has orgasm, and that's fine. But, you know, there's times when she does want her orgasm, and she needs to be sure to get that. So this is a thing about making it safe. Okay, she feels safe, that she doesn't have to perform in any way. She doesn't have to be the 4th of July when she's not feeling like the 4th of July. Now, another thing I want to teach women about, this thing about giving to men, is that during this section, by the way, women do take many more notes. Okay, they're like, okay, what can I give to the man? What can I give to the man? I want to emphasize, this is, how can you make this man successful in giving to you? That's the real emphasis. Let him be successful in giving to you, and that's what's going to make him most excited and most fulfilled in sex. But there are some secrets to that, which you can do to make him feel successful. To let, not make him, but let him be successful. If a woman is busy all the time trying to give to the man in sex, hoping to please him, he never gets a chance to fully please you. So there needs to be this time in sex where you are just receiving and he is mainly giving to you and not so much taking. Okay? And that will bring us to the point of great sex. Another thing that makes sex great, okay, for a woman, and again, what makes sex great for a woman, what does it do for a man? It makes it great for him. So a lot of my emphasis on what makes sex great for women, but I will equally emphasize men a little bit later. Something that makes sex great for women is variety. That you don't do it the same way every time, that you don't do it in the same place every time, that you don't spend the same amount of time doing it every time, that there is variety about every aspect of the act except variety of partners. That doesn't work, okay? It's to create the change, to create the change, to create the change. So what that means is sometimes on the left side of the bed, sometimes on the right side of the bed, sometimes with your head at the end of the bed, sometimes with your head at the front of the bed, sometimes diagonal on the bed, sometimes right in the middle making love. What you can do is just pause, relax a little bit, and move her over to the other side of the bed. Now at that time, she's going to be wondering, I wonder what he's going to do now. Why is he doing this? Must be some reason. And then she likes it. Now, guys, you don't have to have any other reason other than it's time to move, okay? And what you do when you make that move is you do it in this real confident way, like you know exactly what you're doing. You know, it's like, and now we're going to move to northeast, you know, and I'm doing it northeast, okay? So it's a sense of confidence that goes along with it and gentle movement, not always the same thing, okay, not repetition. Now, if you have, you know, once you've been living together, if you're living together, you're doing it in your bedroom all the time, it's important to do it in other rooms, okay? And if you've got children in all the other rooms, then it's important to go to a hotel, okay? It's not silly, it's very intelligent to spend the night at a hotel occasionally, even though you're paying mortgage on your house, okay? You got this house, you got a nice place. Sometimes, like once a month, I would recommend at least do a one-night outing where you pay $100, some nice place, okay, to make love. And I guarantee you, it will be just like beginning over again. It's like a new place. It's a new experience. It's just phenomenal. What happens, especially to women, it affects men too, mainly because it affects the women, okay? Which is after she starts associating the house with all the responsibilities, with the children. She cannot relax. She cannot let go. But you get her out of that environment, and all of a sudden she's free to relax. There's no phones, okay? Or there is a phone, okay? But there's the kids aren't there. Nobody knows the phone number except the babysitter. So it's only an emergency if that phone rings, okay? By the way, we're talking about phones. Guys, never answer the phone during sex, okay? It's like one of the worst things you can do. Can any women relate to that, okay? Here he is answering the phone. And of course, I would, it would also be the worst thing to me if my wife answered the phone during sex, okay? Just like, whoa, just wait a second here. But, you know, a guy will tend to take a business call right in the middle of sex and start talking and have no awareness, you know, of, you know, what he's just done. Already, she's always going to have issues about, is work more important than her? And as soon as you bring work into the bedroom, it's big trouble, okay? She's got to feel like she is number one in your life at that time. She is so special. This is another quality that makes sex great for women, is that she feels special. Now, of course, the greatest gift of specialness is when you meet someone very special, and over time, you make a commitment, and you're monogamous. Monogamy is the greatest turn-on there is. You know, I mean, sex can be great, you know, in the earlier stages of a relationship, maybe, you know, if there's not monogamy. But for me, I can't even compare what sex was before to what it is now based on a monogamous relationship. When you have a monogamous relationship, it will make the woman feel safe. She's not being compared to anybody. She's being adored. She's being loved. She's the special one. She doesn't have to compete with anybody else's orgasms. You know, she doesn't have to worry, you know, she knows she's the number one source of this fulfillment for you. You go to her, and she feels that, and you're wanting to go to her. It's your choice to go to her. And when you make her that special, that makes her feel safe to totally open herself up and receive your love. Because part of what a woman needs to open up is trust. And one of the things that builds trust in a relationship is monogamy. Non-monogamous relationships, it's not safe to open up to your partner. They may be gone the next week. Who knows what's going to happen? Can any women relate to what I'm talking about here? This is something, man, if you don't directly relate to it inside of you, just know that this is a reality for women. Okay? But and one of the reasons men may not relate to it that much is because women, by nature, tend to be more monogamous. So men haven't experienced over the ages women cheating on them as much as women have experienced men cheating on them. So it's a great soreness to be opening your heart up to someone and then have them go do it with somebody else. So again, another gift you give to a woman is that she's special. Over time, sex becomes even better and better and better if their relationship is growing in intimacy. Remember, if there's resentment or and the intimacy is not there, then sex, of course, doesn't work. Everything I'm giving in this talk only applies when your relationship is free of resentment. You know, when the resentment's building up, sex just is not going to be great. But as you're working on healing yourself of the resentment, or at least at those times when it seems there's no resentment, sex can be great, and these are some of the guidelines that makes it great. But the complement to making a woman special is making the man important, okay? Making him feel important, letting him be important to you. So when do I feel I'm important to my wife? When her whole being, when her whole body is receiving me. It's like she receives me and she feels ecstasy. That makes me feel important. Can any men relate to that? Okay. It's like so much appreciation. As a matter of fact, I put up here responses. When a woman responds in a favorable, positive way to my movements, to my touching her, to my giving to her, that makes me feel important. I'm giving her this gift. She needs, she appreciates, she values, she likes, she enjoys, she cherishes, whatever, my touch, my presence, being there for her. Now, what are some of those responses? Well, I just did my little orgasm display, but there was also just the little noises that she starts making as she starts becoming more aroused. You know, those little bird calls, ooh, 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 ooh. And then his owl sounds, There's one Oriental book that I was reading which defined all different types of women by the different animal sounds they made during sex. Deer sounds, bird sounds, all this stuff. Well, Any kind of sound turns a man on. Okay, and sometimes women get the sense, if they don't understand men, some men, not all, but if they have like pure Martian, you know, just male side of them having sex, they won't make any noise at all in sex. It's like, you know, this little bit of slow moving choo-choo train, whatever, you know, it's just, when a man makes love, many men are very quiet. And if a woman thinks, oh, he's quiet, well, then maybe I should be quiet. It's not going to work. The more quiet he is, the more noises he likes. Okay, just to know that, just to be uninhibited with your noises. And that's another good reason to be away from the kids, okay? You don't want to be trying to keep quiet when you're having sex. It's a time for celebration. It's a time for bird calls and animal noises and the whole thing. You know, it's just like, let it come up. In a sense, for a woman, what sex can be is an opportunity for her to get out of her head and into her body, into her feelings. And that is very healing for her. Because the world, especially if they work in the world, out in the workplace, they get drawn out into their male side, into their Martian side, into their head, and it's going to take longer for them to get back in their body. So men, just know this and respect it. And make sure you create ways for her to get back in her body. 20 minutes of foreplay is a way to get back in her body, for her to get back in her body so you can get back in her body, okay? But the other... Now, foreplay, you know, I just talked about foreplay, number one need that women have. Men would be happy to get rid of it, okay? Let's say, foreplay? Yeah, a minute of that, that sounds okay. Okay, we're talking 20 minutes here. 20 minutes foreplay. And what I'm talking, if you want great sex, it's much longer than 20 minutes. It's just not, 20 minutes is right before you're going to have intercourse or so forth. The foreplay starts a day in advance, a week in advance, okay? Is you're buying her flowers, you're giving her little calls, you're emptying the trash for her, you're asking her how she's feeling, you listen without interrupting her, you do little things for her. Every one of those little things is foreplay, okay? Every little point you score with her is foreplay. It's building up and building up and building up. Until then, you get into bed, you may not have to do 20 minutes. It might just be 15. How about that? Now, some guys will start out making love with a woman, and it doesn't take that long for her to reach orgasm or for her to be aroused. And that's because it's the first time they're having sex, or the second or third time. He's been courting her for weeks, for months. You know, he's been waiting for this. She's been waiting for this. It's all built up. But once it's happened a few times, she's going to be back to her basic need of a good 20 minutes of stimulation before she has an orgasm. And sometimes she may not have an orgasm. Okay, what are some other needs that women have? Is variety special? Flowers make her feel special? Environment. Okay, time and space. We talked about time, taking time. The other is space. Creating the right space. That's why I say go to hotels. Make the bedroom can be, you can make the bedroom neater and nicer and cleaner. My wife generally knows when I'm in the mood to make love because I'll clean up the bedroom. That's a sign. Because I know when that bedroom is more organized, when it's more beautiful, when it's more orderly, she can relax more and she has greater sex. And when she has greater sex, I have greater sex. Can any women relate to what I just talked about there? Clean environment, okay? Now, since we're talking about clean environment, let's talk about cleanliness, okay? Guys, there are times maybe when you've been out sweating and everything and she's turned on to that and that's great. But there's other times when she likes to make sure you're clean, okay? It's good to be clean because it's, you know, smells are nice and so forth. And again, it's part of women. You know, I know something that really turns men on is certain perfumes that women wear. They're really nice. They're wonderful. Eyeshadow, okay, during sex. Actually, women, this is the origins of eyeshadow, where it comes from. It's a seductive, luring technique. You see, when a woman is orgasmic, when she's having her orgasm, blood rushes to her face, to her eyes, and if you look at the eyelids at that time, they darken. So the primitive tribes knew that, so the women would just darken their eyelids a bit with little paints. And the guys would glance and they'd notice. They didn't know what it was they were drawn to, because it's all subliminal. But they associate that darkness over the eyes with that arousal. Another thing, if you notice in, you know, in any of these kind of arousing magazines, so forth, they draw the pictures or have the pictures to arouse men. One of the very common things that tends to arouse a lot of men is women wearing high heels. Okay? And of course, doesn't have to be in the magazines. Women walking around with short skirts and high heels, guys notice. It's like their eyes are drawn. They go right to that. Even more so if they weren't wearing high heels. And part of that is, in order to wear high heels, you have to tense your muscles up. Okay? And tensing your muscles up, there's only one other time we see you tensing your muscles up, or sense them being tensed up, and that's at the time of orgasm. You're flexing those muscles at that time of orgasm. It's another subliminal message. He thinks orgasm, and he gets, I want to be around that woman, okay? Because orgasm means he can make a difference, okay? Now, this is how men tend to get associated, women's arousal with feeling, with their feeling good. But this can be also become a problem, which is, I've heard this many times, complaints from women about their husbands and sex. Is that, you know, we'll have sex, and it's really great, but after a while, I didn't want him to touch me. I said, why? Well, the day after sex, we'll be in the kitchen, and he'll come walking in the kitchen and say, hi, honey, and grab my nipple and squeeze it. And like what he's doing, hey, last night I squeezed it and she was moaning with pleasure, okay? So he sees her in the kitchen and says, hi, honey, squish, squish, you know? Like it's supposed to feel good or something. You know, imagine guys, you walking around, you know, at a time when you're not aroused at all, and somebody coming along going, squish, squish to you, you know? Or to make the analogy more accurate, imagine right after you've had your ejaculation and your erection goes down, right that time. You know how sensitive you are? You don't want that area touched at all. Can any man relate to that? You know, it's just like, imagine a woman at that moment going, hey, baby, let's get going here. You know, and starts yanking, let's get some more action. So, whoa, don't touch that fella, you know. And some guys, the only time a woman gets touched by him is when he's aroused. He comes in the kitchen and it's his way of saying, I want to make love. He comes and he starts to rub himself against her or whatever, or starts to grab her breast or something. This becomes a turnoff to a woman. After a while, she doesn't even want to be touched by him. Because if a woman is to feel good in sex, being touched in sex, she needs almost the same amount of touching outside of the bedroom when you're not feeling sexual. This is called affectionate touching without sexual feelings. One word for this is hugs. Another is holding hands. Another is walking close together. And a very popular word for this is cuddling. Okay? Women love to cuddle. This is an art. Okay? It's taken me a long time to learn how to cuddle. Okay? Because as soon as I start to hug my wife in bed, what do I start to want to do? Have sex, you know, and she doesn't always want to have sex, and I need to give her this opportunity where she feels we can be close without it always turning into sex. And it's important for men to understand, this doesn't mean that women don't like sex. It means they like other things too, that's all, you know. It's like, I still like to eat, I like sex, I like to eat, I like to work, I like all sorts of things. It's not an either or, it's apples and bananas, okay, and oranges, whatever, they're different things. She loves sex. But she also likes cuddling, and it's very important that she get that. And she'll start to resent sex if that's the only way she gets touched. Can any women relate to what I'm talking about there? Look at that, guys. It goes right up. So the art of cuddling, as I've learned over the years, okay? As a matter of fact, the other night my wife said, John, you're so good at this. We were cuddling every night for the next three nights. Okay. But it was, I got all this appreciation for it. But it's a subtle thing where what I do is I hold her, let's just do cuddling in bed, for example. It's like, you know, the thing about spoons, how you line spoons up in a drawer. Okay, you do spoons, you kind of line up like that, and then you turn the other way maybe and line up like that. And what I do, as soon as I start to get aroused, that's generally when I need to just back off a little bit. And what I start to do is just really connect with her energy while I'm cuddling. And it's just gently stroking. You can like gently stroke with one finger, two fingers, just gentle kind of movement. Women like gentle movement, not just lying there, no movement, okay? Okay, we're cuddling, okay? We just stay stuck. This is what we're doing. It's like for him, it's either intense movement of sex or no movement, you know? It's either this or that. It's like you're lying there kind of just hanging out together like spoons, and you're just gently stroking a little bit here or stroking her hair a little bit, and maybe you say something to her. And what happens to me is after about a minute of this stuff, I will start getting aroused. And I never make myself wrong for getting aroused, okay? It's like, oh, you're still working? Great. We love you down there. This just isn't the right time, okay? So as soon as I start getting aroused, what I'll do is I'll just start talking with her a little bit. And I get her talking, and what she'll start to talk about is the kids or something like that, and immediately I lose my arousal. You know? So one of the things that allows me is a new trick I've learned, which is to maintain cuddling for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes with her even. Okay, is I can sort of cuddle for a while and talk a little bit and cuddle for a while and talk a little bit. All it takes is for her to mention the kids or the business, and I'm not turned on at all. Okay, so that's a way to sort of bring me back to my heart center by pulling me from my lowest center up to my head center and kind of the hearts in between. Okay, so I come back up to just being with her, and she just loves it, so that when we do have sex, she just is so open and receptive because she's getting it all. And so many women feel like they've given up, you know, on themselves because the only way they can get touch is with sex. And so they do sex just to be touched, and then they resent it because they're not in the mood for sex. And then when they are in the mood for sex, they don't even know it because they have so much resentment about having to do sex to get touched. So what I suggest is that we look and understand is that the basis of a good sexual relationship is, oddly enough, lots of cuddling, okay? As you give her cuddling. So now we're going to talk about different kinds of sex. I'm not going to put cuddling as a kind of sex, but it deserves to be on the chart, okay? That will be number one, and then there's a number two, there's a number three, and there's number four, and there's number five. Five kinds of sex. But although cuddling isn't sex, it's touching. Affectionate touching, being close together. No touching genitals, guys, at that time. Okay. Then, by the way, if you're doing cuddling, and you're... the same thing in the kitchen. When you go in the kitchen, you see your wife, or you haven't seen her in a while, you go give her a hug. It's not a sexual thing. You're just hugging her. You're just being with her, connecting with her, so she feels plenty of touch. Then when you want to have sex, she's not going to have that resentment. So that's cuddling. The second level, I'm not going to talk about yet. The third level is what I call healthy home-cooked sex. Healthy home-cooked sex. Home-cooked because sex is kind of like a dinner. You prepare it and you eat it. Okay, it is delicious. We love it. We get hungry for it. Anyone ever been hungry for sex? Yes, we've all been hungry for sex, so it's the closest thing to food. It's another kind of food. It's just a subtler food. It's an energy. I'm hungry for her feminine energy. I'm hungry for her love, and through sex, I can take it in me. She's hungry for my energy. She's hungry for my love, and through sex, she can take it into her in a very physical way, bringing it at the physical level. Healthy home-cooked sex is really basically win-win sex, where for sure, she gets about 20 minutes of foreplay, I get my 3 minutes, we have our orgasm, and we got about 5 minutes to be together afterwards. So it turns out to be about 25 to 30 minutes, okay? You set aside 25 to 30 minutes, and that is the staple diet of a good sex life, okay? That's basic, regular sex, home-cooked sex. You know, we need to have a regular, staple diet of it. Now, the fourth kind of sex here is gourmet sex, okay? On special occasions, you have gourmet sex. Gourmet sex is a lot more elaborate than home-cooked sex. It's like French cooking, okay? I mean, if you've ever been to a French restaurant, they bring out all these fancy little things and sauces. Those sauces. And everything is very nicely arranged, and one thing is brought out, and another thing is brought out, and there's a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, a little bit of this. And we're going to talk about how to create gourmet sex as opposed to home-cooked sex. But for now, just to understand the difference is gourmet sex picks up where home-cooked sex ends off. It's from 30 minutes to 2 hours. Okay, this is gourmet sex. And I think in my relationship with my wife, we try to have gourmet sex about once a month. Generally, when we go to the hotel, okay, we have gourmet sex. Not always, but that will generally be it. Well, we may have a few home-cooked sex or something, or maybe it's a gourmet sex. And it's like gourmet sex, a word for it, if you want to use another kind of word, it's sensual sex. Sensual sex, it's like you give up the goal orientation. It's not just about having an orgasm. It's about arousing each other and relaxing, arousing each other and relaxing, arousing each other and relaxing. Matter of fact, what I call home-cooked sex is up three times. So I'll bring my wife up to three peaks before I give her an orgasm. About three peaks gives her enough integration of the energy so she can have a really beautiful, fulfilling orgasm, and I have a full body orgasm too, by bringing your energy up to about three peaks. Gourmet sex is where you bring your energy up 10 peaks, 15 peaks. You just start and you start over. You start and you start over. After, what, an hour or something, you might take a break, you know, eat some strawberries or something, or get some of that. I like to bring out surprises, you know, surprises always work. Sometimes, oh, I got something in my suitcase, and I'll go to my suitcase, get edible cream out, you know, and then I'll give her a massage in her back and then lick it all off, you know. It's just those kinds of things. It's really where you get into the sensuality, and it's when there's so much love there. It's just being in the sensuality of our bodies together, loving our bodies, loving being close, loving pleasing each other. This is what gourmet sex is, and it's one service after another. You bring her up, you bring her up, you bring her up, you bring her up. She might bring you up, but each going up means getting to this peak before you have orgasm, and then letting your energy settle down again, building up and letting it settle down. Now, something I used to really be into, which is the number five level here, which is, you know, for about 3 years after being a monk for 9 years, I had built up a lot of sexual energy. So I was really good at athletic sex, okay? Athletic, you know, it's like, how many times can I do it in a day? You know, it's like, how long can we do it for? Endurance test, you know, and it was like notches on my belt. It was, as a matter of fact, it's very adolescent, but it was like, you know, how many women in a week, you know? It was like, how much can I do? And guys will tend to go through some kind of a proving to themselves what a great lover they are. Can any guys relate to that stage? Okay. I don't want to be the only guy up here with that. Okay. So athletic sex is endurance. It's how long can we do it? How much can we do it? And that goes from 2 hours and beyond. And basically, I'm just a little too old for that now. You know? When I did practice athletic sex, part of it was learning to control orgasms so I wouldn't premature ejaculate, be able to sustain erection for a long period of time. And you practice a lot of control. And I remember one time going about 6 or 7 hours with breaks in between. Okay, and at the end of that day, I was so sore, I'll never do it again. Okay, I mean, I walk with bowling balls between my legs, you know. And I was going to this training course at that time. And the thing about blue balls is that sometimes it has a delayed reaction. You see, it doesn't get you right away. So it was about an hour later, I was in this class, and all of a sudden it struck, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I was completely immobilized right there. And I could not even move. I laid down on the floor in the class, and all these people were going, what's the matter, what's the matter? I think it was something I had for lunch. Now, it was about an hour before my girlfriend came to pick me up, and she came to get me, and they didn't have to do a stretcher, but I would have liked it. But I remember being so embarrassed, taking one little tiny step after another, you know. It was like I was this crippled old person. And from that day on, I stopped practicing athletic sex. And if you do too much of it, which means too much controlling the prostate gland, it can swell up and you can get prostatitis, which is not really very good. So from that experience is really where I started to develop a way to control my sexual energy without having to use any restraint down there, which is, we're going to talk about working with the waves of energy. See, what I was doing is I'd wait to have an orgasm and I'd contract all my muscles down there and stop it. You know? But it was just like once it starts and you stop Mother Nature, it starts to hurt. Okay, so what I've learned is to, you know, way before I'm going to have an orgasm, I just let my energy relax and let it build up, and then I let it relax. Because if I wait till the last moment, it can cause a lot of strain down there, much more in men than women. Now, the second kind of sex on this chart, okay, which I wanted to mention at the last, because women aren't always real happy about this one, but it's just as important as all the others, and that's junk food sex. You know, we got healthy home-cooked sex, gourmet sex, athletic sex. We got junk food sex, or another word for that is the good old quickie, okay? Quickie is 5 minutes, okay? Let's take off our clothes, jump into bed, stick it in. 3 minutes later, thank you, ma'am. See you later. You know, it's like. And men love quickies, okay? Now, as I've gotten older and older, they're not as appealing to me, but sometimes I just like to be young again. And my wife is really happy to oblige. And part of it is just like I give her the cuddles, she gives me the quickies. And that's how we kind of have the balance there. Although I give her a lot more cuddles than I get quickies. I keep score. But it's okay, because she's very willing to give me a quickie whenever I would like. And part of that is a lot of conscientious talking about this and understanding all of her objections and resistance to quickies. And of course, being a highly intelligent person, I resolved all of them. Okay, and so we have a great win-win relationship. Because once we worked out how she could feel okay about quickies, it means that anytime I want to have sex, and she's not really in the mood for it, we'll just have a quickie. You know, I'll say, honey, I'm in the mood for sex. Are you in the mood? She says, no, not really, but if you want to do a quickie, I'm happy to do that. And sometimes I'll say yes, sometimes I'll say no, I'll wait till you're in the mood. Because to me, it's great when she has a great experience and when she's into it. But sometimes I don't care whether she's into it, I just want to get off, okay? And that's a quickie. And every man can be that way, or most every man I've ever met, it feels that way at times. Can any men relate to that I'm talking about? Okay, it's just this part of us, just wants to get off. So, working it out to a win-win sex life, this was a very big part of it, because it meant we could have sex when I wanted it at times when she wasn't that much in the mood for it. Now, of course, if she was just, you know, feeling awful down there, having a terrible headache, and she doesn't want anybody to touch her, you know, I wouldn't expect her to want to do a quickie. But if she's feeling okay and fine, and I'm in the mood and she's not, she's always happy to do a quickie because she knows how important it is to me. It's her gift to me. And one of the things that makes it okay for her, or a list of things, is I found out, well, what are the things that you don't like about quickies? Well, first of all, doing quickies, she's afraid that I'll think that makes her happy and that's all we're going to do. She knows Martians, you know. If I can get away with doing a quickie every time, why bother with all the foreplay? Okay? So he'll tend to just give quickies because lots of men just give quickies and that's about it. So when she's getting her dosage of healthy home-cooked sex, she's getting the love and the sexuality and the sensuality and the stimulation she needs at other times, then she's happy to give me a quickie. Also, if she knows at those times when we have a quickie that I have no expectation on her to have an orgasm. As a matter of fact, I have no expectation on her to do anything but lie there. And that's it. And one time she really tested me on that, where she just laid there like a log. She said, okay, John, do it. You know. And what's so funny is I'm going along doing it, and she sort of mumbled something, and I didn't hear it. And I can't even remember what she actually said. All I know is what I heard, which was quite humiliating. She goes, just get it over with as soon as you can. And I heard that, I chuckled, I laughed, I said, because it was real clear that this was not for her. This was for me. This is one of those times when I just want to get off, which doesn't make it great, but it makes it good. And sometimes that's what I want, that's what's going to make me feel good. And that makes her feel fine too. As a matter of fact, once we got that straight, she was relieved. She went, oh, you mean I don't have to have the orgasm every time. I don't have to perform. I don't have to be misresponsive, bird calls, animal noises. You know, I can just... You know, lie there and relax. And sometimes what I'll do when we even have quickies is I'm going along doing the quickie. Before I'll come, I'll sort of relax a little bit sometimes and just sort of feel around and see if she's in the mood for a little bit more. And I'll say, you know, would you like a little something yourself? And she says, nope, I'm very happy. And then I'll just go for it, have my orgasm, and we'll be done, and it's finished. It's as simple as that. It's kind of like another way of looking at it, your partner has got sore feet, and you just say, honey, would you like me to massage your feet? You put a little oil on the feet and you massage the feet. Actually, that requires a lot more effort than lying there, okay? And especially if you don't feel any pressure to perform, you know that this isn't replacing your sex life, and you know that he's got enough energy left that in a few days, he's going to be making love to you in that nice way.